Well, good morning. You might notice that Pastor Rob and I are doing something a little bit different for the sermon, and that's on purpose, don't worry. We've been going through our series called The Third Way, and we ended that last week, and as we look forward to the future, next week I'm going to help us just end going through the book of Philippians. We're going to have Christmas there in the middle, and then as we start the new year in January, we're going to study the book of Judges. So it should be really exciting. I can see that everybody is just thrilled about that prospect. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. But today we're going to do something different because we want to celebrate what God is doing here at Cornerstone. For those of you who are new, maybe this is your first time, or you're watching online for the first time, or it's your second, third, fourth, or you've been coming for a while, you may or may not know that we have these goals, or maybe you've seen these signs out in the foyer called 10 and 10. 10 and 10 is just a way to express that we here at Cornerstone have certain goals that we want to accomplish that God has given us. And back in 2022, the elders got together, and through prayer and fasting, as well as talking with ministry leaders, we came up with 10 goals that we want to accomplish over the next 10 years, starting in 2022. Obviously, it's 2024 now, so we've been working on these for a while. If you want to know what those 10 and 10 goals are, you can get this little brochure out in the foyer, and they describe what it is. But just to give you an idea, some of you may or may not be able to see this. Hopefully, they can zoom out online. You can see this. These are our 10 goals that we want to accomplish over the next 10 years. They include creating 10 to 20 discipleship groups, creating specialized groups as needed, establishing an adult Sunday school academy that not only goes through a book of the Bible, but also helps with practical things in life. We want to also develop 10 to 20 new Christian leaders over the next 10 years. We want to find, support, and forward 3 new missionaries. We want to engage 25 to 30 of you in local outreach. We want to revitalize our CBC campus. We want to focus and expand our corporate worship. We want to expand our youth ministry and our college and career ministry. And we want to enhance our CBC kids ministry. You can find out more about that. But today what we're going to do is celebrate what God has done and also give you a report of what He not only has done in 2024, but also look ahead of where we're going in 2025. And on your bulletins, or those of you online can get this on that live stream page, it'll say the 2024 Impact Report. And it looks like this. It's a part of your bulletin. So go ahead and just flip to that right now. And Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about what that front page describes what God did in 2024?
Yeah, so, one of the things we're careful not to do is put too much of an emphasis on numbers, because if you get caught up in numbers, it just bad things happen from that. However, there is a point where numbers actually help tell a story. And so part of what we're trying to do by laying this out is tell you some of the story of what God has done. So when you see that number on that page where it says 562 people have been reached, okay, that is people that we have recorded having attended our church in some fashion, okay? So this is including adults, or how did Kyle say it? Non-kids, kids, visitors, and so on. Those people. What it's not including, and I should say that our desire for every single person that walks through this door is in some way we're contributing to their discipleship, pointing them to Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is not including, for example, Good News Club. That's like another 100 kids, okay? This is not including how many of you have your own outreach in your local community. I'm going to point her out and embarrass her, but Cheryl, I know, does a lot to reach out to her neighborhood. Her and I will talk about that. I just happened to glance over there. Many of you are doing that kind of thing. So that's not even reflected in here. But one of the things that we focus on, and is connected with one of our goals, is that 265 number. That is people active in our actual D groups. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'd like to know more about our D groups and our S groups, please feel free to talk with me. I'd love to tell you about it.
And we actually have brochures. I know it sounds like I'm pitching something here. This church is not a business, right? It's us, the body of believers. But there are some things out
there. That's how we find out stuff. Yeah. There's brochures out there that'll tell you more about that, in addition to what I and others can offer you.
That's right. Okay. And today, we're going to focus primarily on two of our 10 and 10 goals that we have set in motion. We've been working on them this year, and we plan to work on them even more in 2025. The two goals that we're going to look at, we're going to discuss both from a scriptural point of view and then tell you a little bit of what we've been doing and where we're going. So, Rob, why don't you tell us about the first goal that we're going to look at today?
Yeah, so goal number four, as it says on the screen, is to develop 10 to 20 Christian leaders. Now, we want to explain just a little bit about what we mean by this. This is actually for both men and women, okay? That's really important. So leadership in our church here, both men and women, that it does include that there will be men trained specifically towards eldership and deacon, but we want to make sure they understand that this has to do with all ministry leadership. And I should say, too, we're also kind of building off the backs of so many leaders we already have.
Yes, yes. Because a lot of these 10 and 10 goals we've already been doing.
Right.
We're just sort of focusing on them and helping them become stronger and making disciples who are mature in Christ who can lead. Right?
Exactly. And leadership that's been in place since before we did the 10
Absolutely.
And 10 goals. Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
Because this is Jesus' church. This isn't my church or your church. This is Jesus' church, right? We're here to worship Jesus. And that's what's exciting about training up the next leaders to further that discipleship that Christ himself has told us to do when he left this earth and before he comes back a second time.
That's right.
Now, the other goal we're going to look at today is goal number eight, which is to focus and expand our corporate worship. The idea here is we want to make sure that we are intentionally worshiping God, that we're helping you build that relationship with him, and that you're being focused and aware of what's going on, not just on a Sunday morning, but also in your life throughout the week. And so we'll look at that a little bit today. But let's start off by looking at goal number four. Let's talk about this idea that we want to develop 10 to 20 Christian leaders. Those of you who don't know the history of Cornerstone, the founding pastor, Doug McIntosh, is the one who started with his wife and Tim, as well as, what was his wife's name? Sherry, thank you. They started this church back in 1973-ish to 71. Forgive me, my mind, I'm having I can't remember moment right now. But when they were looking to find the next senior pastor, that started a process long before I got here in 2014, and then I took over a little bit at a time and working with Doug, and then finally in 2018 I took fully over. And what we're seeing here is, okay, we need to pass the baton again. We're not trying to kick out the old ministry leaders, okay? Don't hear that at all. What we're trying to do is be the church. The older women teach younger women, the older men teach younger men, and sort of pass this baton and raise up the next generation of leaders, because it's critical in our culture today. We need people who have a biblical worldview and practically know how to be leaders. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's go to Scripture and talk about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ who's a leader in his church. Turn with me in your Bibles to, this actually goes with Jesus performing that Passover meal that you just helped us lead us in, in the Gospel of John. This actually happens before he does like the Passover meal, I believe. In John 13, Jesus says to his disciples some very impactful words about what it means to be a leader by looking at himself as an example. So those of you online, turn there as well. John chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. We read, "So when Jesus had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you," and that's whenever Jesus says that, it means I'm going to tell you a truth, but it's going to be hard for you to accept it, which is kind of weird with what he says next. He says, "A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus right here not only tells us what it looks like to be a leader in God's church and even just a follower of Christ, he shows it with his actions. And what Jesus shows with his actions and what we want to do here at Cornerstone is make leaders who are servants and not dictators. Now, Brian, you are the director of AFCI, and I love to pick on you, but this just happened to be something we just talked about right before service. He was telling me about a book, and in that book, the author had gone and asked these other nations, and I have not read the book, so I'm going off of what you told me, what is most important with leadership? And one of the things they have said across cultures is that servant leadership is one of the most important things to see in a leader. And it's one of the hardest things for leaders to do because we get big heads and think it's all about us and our kingdom that we need to build when we don't remember what Jesus modeled to us, that I am supposed to be a servant, nay, I am supposed to be a slave to others to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. That's crazy, Rob.
Yeah, what you're saying is we don't want people to become like, say, movie stars or politicians or social media. In fact, when Peter and I were coming up with this, I had the thought, I was like, you don't necessarily picture Jesus, if it was today, having pulled out his phone and saying, like, hey, just here with the 12 guys healing the lame.
Let's post it on Instagram. That's right. No, when you look at this model in John 13, Jesus was doing what the lowest servant in the house would do. Washing feet are yucky today, right? I don't know if you've ever done that. I've actually done it before. I was part of what is called a Brethren denomination back in California. I was just a congregation member. I wasn't a pastor. They do things a little weird, and I don't necessarily agree with them when it comes to communion. Because we have this passage in John 13, one of the things they think you do as part of communion is wash each other's feet. Now, I don't think we have to do that, but it was impactful when I did because it's very vulnerable and it's very yucky.
Yeah.
But it reminded me, not only was I humbled to do it, I was humbled to receive it from someone else. Because I was like Peter in this passage. He's like, whoa, Jesus, what are you doing? Don't wash my feet. I should wash your feet. He's like, you don't understand what I'm doing here. I'm giving you a model of what it means to be a leader.
So even something like that is weird to us. It actually demonstrates greatly what Jesus.
Yeah, so maybe we should have a foot washing day in 2025. I don't hear people laughing.
Yeah,
so maybe.
No. They're like, no, don't do that.
Okay, well, so one of the things we're trying to accomplish as we make leaders here at Cornerstone is to develop servant leaders. There's one other passage I just want to briefly look at, and I wish, you know me, I like to dive into Scripture and really chew it apart and try to figure it out, but we're just kind of getting this surface level right now. So we're going to look at another passage. I like to go into it deeper, but let's just read it and see some practical advice that Paul gives one of his pupils, one of these guys he was mentoring, Titus. So turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Titus is one of those books that gives some very practical theology, how you were to live as a Christian. It warns against false teachings. And Titus was this young man that Paul had commissioned to help a church in Crete, the island of Crete, which is over by Greece. And here are the words that he reminds him as a leader of that church. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one
who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So what we see here in this passage is a beautiful kind of like practical theology when it comes to leadership. And one thing we want to do with leaders as we're developing them is to help them have those practical skills. Leaders, do you like that picture? Is that what you laugh at?
I know, I was looking for Andy to see if he needs to be here.
I told Andy that I got this big mug shot for him today. So just, if you don't know who Andy is, he helps lead our men's ministry. And this is him actually leading one of his D groups for men. And Andy has a passion for this. And we want to develop leaders who even lead D groups who are biblically sound. They have sound doctrine. They have a biblical worldview. So you feel equipped as you engage our culture and people who are in our culture, when they come up with things and saying, I don't know how to answer this. What does the Bible say about this? We have trained our leaders to be able to respond and help you grow in your faith. And we want them to also have practical skills to help people grow in their faith, just like we see here in this passage.
Yeah, so it really, we really want to help people have two main things, that biblical worldview and the skills to lead. And that leadership, like you said, will show up in many different things. It may be to lead a particular ministry. It may be to lead a D group or an S group or many other things, opportunities that can be happen.
That's right. And so how are we going to do that here at Cornerstone? How have we been doing it, and where are we going?
Yeah, so what we're doing, we're actually in the process right now of developing this leadership program. And we hope to put it into place, or we plan to put it into place this year. And it's going to focus on those two things, biblical worldview, so that we are firm in our knowledge and understanding of the scriptures and our beliefs about the world from that. And then also the skills to be able to lead well, and it's many different facets. A lot rises on and falls on leadership. That's one of the things that's often said. A lot rises and falls, or actually I think the phrase is everything falls and rises on leadership, and there's a lot of truth to that.
And we have a couple of people, actually it's four people helping us elders develop this right now, who are wonderful leaders, who have a firm grasp of a biblical worldview, as well as developing leadership skills. And I love what they're coming with, and we're still talking, we're still developing that, and we're hoping to launch that in fall of 2025. So just be aware that's coming.
Yes.
Now, the other goal that I said that we're focusing on this year is to focus and expand our corporate worship.
Yes.
We want to be intentional about helping you, which many of you worship God. We're not saying you don't worship God right now and we got to tell you how to do it. That's not what we're saying, okay? We're saying, hey, let's be intentional about this. What does God say? What should be our focus when we worship here specifically as we gather all together on a Sunday morning, but even as you're doing your own worship? Because you guys realize you can worship God at any time of the day, 24/7, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't just when we get together. In fact, you doing the very things God has called you to do is an act of worship. You giving is an act of worship. You singing is an act of worship. So worship is throughout our life. It isn't this contained little box that we do some of the time. It is all the time. In fact, we're going to look at a psalm that expresses that and also gives us a warning if we aren't in worship of our Lord and Savior. So turn with me to Psalm 95, and we're going to read the whole psalm and discuss what it looks like to worship here at Cornerstone, or at any church, right? Because we are just part of lowercase t church. We got brothers and sisters all around us around the country and around the world.
Yes.
So Psalm 95 has 11 verses. Those of you online, please turn there as well. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Do you guys shout sometimes to the Lord in worship? We're kind of like Baptists sometimes, right? We're like, we raise our hands this high and no higher, all right? Some of us raise it higher. Sometimes we have a big TV. Sometimes we have a small TV. Right?
Ooh, Tim Hawkins.
Yeah, Tim Hawkins, the comedian. Yeah. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I pick this psalm because there is both a component here that tells us, that calls us to worship, but there is also a warning. In verses 1 through the first part of verse 7, there is a call to worship God because he is our salvation and he is great. And he even goes back to the beginning in Genesis 1 where God created, it's almost a retelling of that story in Genesis 1, where God created the universe and he is our creator. And as such, he is worthy of our worship. He deserves everything that we are because he is our maker. And so, as we look at our worship, this is the high calling God has for all of you, for me included, and Rob, you too. We are called to worship and to remind ourselves every day why we worship him. I was coming home, I was coming to work just this last week, and I don't know if this happens to you, but I was filled with just the best word that describes it is gratitude. It was just straight up gratitude because of what you all had done in my life and just what I have. And it's not like we're rich and we got everything. You know, there's wants that I have. But I realize, Lord, I don't worship you and praise your name and have a heart of gratitude for the things I do have. I'm always complaining sometimes about the things I wish were. I wish it was this way. I wish this would happen. I wish this would happen. And I don't just sit and say, God, I have everything that I need because I have you. And everything could be taken away from me, and I would still have a heart of gratitude. And it doesn't mean that wouldn't be hard. You know, if things got worse and things get hard, and it would be hard to worship you. That is hard. There's hardship. But I want that heart of gratitude every day that I live to be expressing that to God in worship. Because there's a warning here in the rest of Psalm 95. The warning is, soften and prepare your hearts for worship. There is a tendency to disbelieve or have unbelief that God is faithful to keep his promises, that God is faithful to watch over you, to complain to God for what you don't have, instead of recognizing the great gifts he has already given you. There is a temptation to do what the Israelites did as they were coming to the promised land, and they distrusted God that he could overcome this massive barrier, which was the people in conquering the land. They said, he can't do it. We'd rather go back to Egypt, the place of slavery. And we do the same thing. We can come to the great promises of God and say, it's too hard. I don't want to fight for it. I want just an easy life. I want a life of comfort, God. I don't want to have to fight these things. I'd rather go back to the prison, the slavery of sin, rather than pursue you and become free in Christ Jesus. And God says, listen, if you choose to do that, you will lack worshiping me. because your heart's not in the right place. And that will do two things. Yes, the first thing is you will be disconnected from me and you'll be wandering in the desert. But the scary thing is he said to those Israelites, you shall not enter my rest. Do you know what he's talking about there? He was talking about the promised land. And the author of Hebrews even brings this up in Hebrews 3. And in the book of Hebrews, he's actually talking to Christians. If you have a hard heart of unbelief, you will miss out on the rewards God has for you in the kingdom to come. Because you are focused on what you don't have and you have hardened your hearts and you lack the worship of God, you will miss out on rewards in the kingdom to come. The promised land that Jesus will provide us when he comes again. So worshiping. Do you see how important this is? This isn't just something here and now. It even impacts what you will experience in the kingdom of to come when Christ returns. You'll still have a relationship with God. I'm not saying you lose your salvation or anything because you don't worship God and you get a hard heart. That's not right. Our salvation is firm in Christ. We cannot lose our salvation. It was bought by Christ. We can't do anything to take it away. But you can miss out in the relationship with God, both now and in the future. And God says, watch out. Don't harden your hearts. Hear my voice.
Yeah, and sometimes that hardness of heart can be reflected in how we come to worship. Because we can sometimes have a mindset of it's about what I'm going to get out of it versus just laying everything down on the altar. One of the things I've talked with College and Career about has been, and it's from C.S. Lewis, is this idea, like in this passage it says, today if you hear my voice, if your mindset is in such a way that you're constantly looking for God to show up, I think the way Lewis puts it is all of life is a buffet. That you can see him everywhere if you just open your heart up and focus on him. You see just below the surface and you see him reflected in everything.
That's such a good point.
Sometimes what we do is when we come to worship, we get caught up in songs or, you know, style of music or, you know, order of worship or any of that kind of thing. And it's kind of like we're saying, well, it's like Burger King.
How so?
I'm going to have it my way right now at Cornerstone. And if I don't, I'm going to complain to the management.
And I think we've all done that. I've even done that. It's like, well, I don't like the music. And it's like, hold on a second. We didn't come to be entertained when we come on a Sunday, do we? We come to sing to an audience of one. And this is something what Sarah and Matt and the other partners of the worship team have come and said, this isn't about you and I. This is about our great God. And I know we can get caught up thinking about, well, it's just not for me. We want to help redirect our hearts.
Yeah.
So when we come on a Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday or Monday, we come thinking, I'm here to sing to an audience of one. Doesn't matter how bad I sing or how great I sing. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about God.
Yeah.
So how are we going to do that here at Cornerstone?
So as you pointed out, the members of the worship team, elders, others, we've identified seven key beliefs about worship. Now, we're not suggesting that this is everything. And in fact, we had the reminder that God may lead us in new and surprising ways that we haven't even identified yet. So there's an openness of heart here, but we identified seven things. And so I want to go ahead and just read those to us now. Number one, God is the sole audience of our worship offering. It's kind of what Peter was just talking about. Two, our primary focus is always to glorify him. Three, in worship, we express truth to him and to each other about him. Four, worship reflects our relationship with God, and intentional worship leads us into a deeper relationship with him. Five, our praise, confession, preaching, and service to others testify to what we believe about his matchless worthiness. Six, worship is central to the formation of mature disciples. That one might that one can rub wrong. Number seven, intentional worship requires intentional preparation by leaders and congregants. It's funny how preparation keeps coming up.
Yeah, it does. These, like Rob had said, these are just to help guide us as we look at our worship service on Sunday and ask, are we doing these things? And so as we're doing these things, some things might change, Rob, isn't that right?
That's right. In fact, Peter, did you notice we're doing the announcements at the very beginning of the service?
I did notice that, Rob. Wow.
That's good because you helped plan it. But we actually had intention with that, right?
Yes.
So part of our desire was that what we were recognizing is we're getting everybody to sing, start singing, and then we come in with announcements, and it kind of like kills the worship environment, we'll just say that. our desire is that, okay, yeah, there's definitely stuff we got to communicate, make sure everybody knows about, and then once we cross the line into just focusing on God, that's where it's going to stay.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's really, we're going to try things, and some things are going to work. So if you're wondering, like, why are they doing things this way now? I don't like that. That's okay.
Yeah.
We're trying to make sure we're fulfilling these core values, core beliefs about worship. And so we may try things and then say, that does not work at all. It's too distracting. Or it might be like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. We don't know.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering or have questions about that, come and ask us.
Yeah.
Like, but we just want you to know that this is the reason why we're changing things. It wasn't saying we did things wrong in the past and now we figured out the way. No, we're just saying like, hey, let's be intentional. Let's be purposeful in all things that we do on a Sunday. But more importantly, I desire for you to ponder and meditate on these truths at home about your personal worship with God and say, am I doing this? Because I don't know about you, I'm a doer. One of the worst things I forget to do is pray or worship God. I'm like, I got one thing done. I check it off. Let's move on to the next thing. I forget to celebrate with God and praise Him for the things that He has done in my life and what He's doing in your life. So these things don't just impact what we do on a Sunday. We want them to impact your personal life as well.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things that we've already started doing, and this is to great credit to Sarah and Matt and others, is adding people to the worship team.
Oh, that's right. I have seen some people up here.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I say it's to their credit, but it's also to the credit that actually joined. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. How many people have we added? Even?
I think there's four.
Yes.
Yes.
At least so. I think that's on. And again, it's not a number. We weren't trying to hit a number and say, I really dislike numbers. By the way, if you don't know this, because numbers do not tell you about how mature a believer is getting in a church. Like, we can say, oh, we impacted 562 people in our community. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Like, how do you measure that qualitatively? Churches, we especially as pastors, we can get caught up in a numbers game. How many people come on a Sunday? And, you know, how many people are impacting? What I care most about, you guys, I want to reach people. I want to see us grow because people are coming to faith in Christ and they want to come to Cornerstone to grow in their faith in Christ. But our heart here at Cornerstone is to help you become mature disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't want to just kind of just make you these simple fishermen and women. We want you to become scholars, worshipers, doers, just everything about you. The way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act is more and more like Jesus every year. That's what we desire to do here at Cornerstone. So what can we take away from today? This is what I want you to see. God is moving here at Cornerstone through all of you. And He's making disciples of Jesus Christ who are leaders and worshipers of the one true God. Like I said, I'm bad at celebrating. I'm sort of like, let's move on to the next task. I'm a task-oriented person. I'm not a people-oriented person. And I thought today we needed to celebrate what God was doing in 2024. And one of the ways you celebrate, if you've ever been to a celebration, what do you normally have at a celebration? Cake and ice cream. Thank you. Yes, cake. Food, right? Food. Food connects us. When you're at a birthday party, you have a cake. When you're at a retirement party, you have a... When you're at a farewell party, you have a cake. It's a really bad example. I ran out of ideas. So today, to celebrate what God has done in 2024 and where we are going in 2025 together, we have some wonderful cake out there for you to eat. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah, praise God, right?
That's what I said.
Yes! Because there was a wonderful man of God who was here at Cornerstone. His name was Bob Lilly. He's with the Lord now. He was one of our elders. He passed away years ago. But one thing he would tell me is you got to eat your dessert first because you don't know when you're going to go or when Jesus is going to return. So you might as well eat dessert first. So we're going to eat dessert first. So parents, I hope you're okay with that. To celebrate and worship God. So as you go out today, it will be on the right as you leave. Go grab a piece of cake. Gather in the fellowship hall. If you're really daring, gather outside in the cold. And tell each other how God has showed up in your life in 2024. Whether it's here at Cornerstone or outside of Cornerstone, it's all to the glory of God. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus and making disciples and you growing your faith. Let's celebrate what God has done in 2024. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we do worship you. We praise you, our great Redeemer and friend, our Creator, our Maker of the heavens and the earth, our Savior, our Counselor, our King. We worship you today, not because of the things we have done necessarily, but because of what you are doing through us here at Cornerstone and with our brothers and sisters around the community, Lord. We worship you this morning. We praise your holy name, for you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. So, Lord, help us as we continue to celebrate 2024 and then go into 2025, Lord, keep our eyes on you, fixed on you, specifically to develop leaders and worship you with everything in our heart. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen.